Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Thank you, Bianca. Why don't we bow our heads and pray, everybody. Father, thank you so much that your design for us to live is always within the context of family. Lord, whether spiritual or biological, Lord, you call, as it says in Psalm 68, verse 6, you call the desolate into family. And so, God, I thank you that we get to be a part of family. Even for those who are watching online, Lord, you are calling them to discover the beauty of your design for family. So we're asking, God, that you would speak to us today, wherever we're at in our journey with you, God, that we open our hearts to be able to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be looking, the topic of my message today is God's blueprint, and God's blueprint is family. Let me ask you this question just to start us off today. And the question is, how can you tell that people are from the same family? Let me just read that question one more time for you today. How can you tell that people are from the same family? Like, is it their expressions? You know, maybe they have the same features. You know, some families, the family members are taller. I'm really blessed with tall children. I think, how many of you parents are coming to the reality of the terms that your children are going to outgrow you in height eventually? Yeah. Maybe sometimes the same expressions on your face, like maybe the way you smile or the way that you have a blank stare on your face when you're imagining things or daydreaming, you look like your dad. Or I've often been told that I have certain expressions that are similar to my dad or my mom. Maybe the same natural tendencies. Maybe you grew up in an athletic family or a musical family, or maybe they're good at certain things. You have natural giftings and tendencies that kind of run through the family line. But more importantly, I think it's the same values, the things that you value in a household. When I think of a household, like being a musician myself and growing up in a musical home, I think of a family. When you think of a family that has music as a value, one family could be the Von Trapp family that you know from the Sound of Music movies. But a musical family that I often think about, they all look very similar. They all hold the similar value of music is this family here. Does anybody know who this family is here? The Jacksons, right? They can all dance, they can all sing and play amazingly. And then a number of them, especially Michael and Janet, went on to be multi-platinum artists in their own right, solo. I began to think about my own family. For those of you don't know whom I haven't had the honor of getting to know yet, I'm married and we have three children. And this is my precious family. Nazareth's our eldest daughter. She's here with us today. And Zion and Jordan, who are upstairs, and we hold specific things that we value. You probably notice, for those of you who do notice, who do know us, I was talking to one friend earlier, and they were earlier this week, and they were saying, "You guys seem to have a lot of photos near water. You love the beach. You love to do. Do you love to swim, Naz?" Yeah, yeah. We love to hang out at wherever water is. My wife loved to dive. Unfortunately, she's not able to dive anymore. But we're people that love to get in the water. So that's something we value, and a lot of our memories are around water. Let me ask you this question then: What makes your family distinct? Have you ever, for those of you who are parents, have you ever taken the time to actually think about what are your values for your family? It's one thing to say, oh, God is our value. Yeah, that's good. But like, how does that manifest in the way that you live out your lives as family? And then how is that portrayed for your children? And how are they able to see that God is valued in your life? It's something that I encourage you to do as married couples here, or those of you who are pursuing a relationship. Because I think if you're in a relationship too, it's good for you as a single person, even whether you're in a relationship or not. Okay, a good advice for you, no matter what stage you're at, is to figure out what your values are. And therefore, it will determine who you should walk in relationship with, whether it's that sort of relationship that leads to marriage or so forth. Because if your values aren't clear, you will settle for things that are less than what God might have for your family. What makes your family distinct? You know, is it your hospitality? Like when people come over to your home, they just feel so at home in your home. Maybe it's your generosity. Maybe it's that you're the life of the party. Maybe because you all love to like cheer people up, and you have such a strong sense of humor, and people just love to be around you. That's what makes your family distinct. What makes your family distinct? What we're going to talk about here to start off with is actually talk about what makes our Every Nation Brisbane family distinct. And then we're going to talk about family in general. Obviously, you can see God's design for family in the passage that was read by Bianca. And I really want to encourage you. This is one of those messages that I encourage you to take notes, because there's going to be a lot of stuff coming at you. And I want you to grasp and take a hold of what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you specifically for your own life and how it applies to what family might look like here in 2021 here in Brisbane. Now, the reason why I bring this up too is like, I understand, and it's sad, but I understand that talking specifically about God's design for family can sometimes be a sensitive topic. Have you noticed this? Which it shouldn't be, right? Because if God has designed a specific thing a specific way, why is it that we find that if this is God's blueprint for how he builds anything, it's through family, then why do we find it such a difficult topic to talk about? I'm not afraid to go there, and I hope you're not afraid to come with me and look at what God says about family in the scriptures. Now let's look at our values as a spiritual family, our vision and values, right? Our vision statement is that Every Nation Brisbane is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing, everybody say it with me, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And we're going to touch on all of our values, and we will also talk about the value of the next generation as we talk about campus ministry. I wanted to shout out our campus ministry, who had an awesome week this week, starting with our market day and our intro night on Friday. Shout out to you, Adele and Mark, and the rest of the team here. But campus ministry is something we value as well. So we're going to look at our values over the next few weeks, and then look also at why campus ministry as well. So firstly, our first value is worship. Now, when we talk about worship, we're not talking about instruments. We're talking about a lifestyle of worship. I'll just read this for you briefly. We love to worship God, not just in our activities as a church or campus ministry, but especially in the way we live our lives, honoring Jesus as Lord. We are also passionate about creating Christ-centered atmospheres where people worship God and are changed. Okay. Secondly, discipleship, and we'll get into this as well in the coming weeks. We are committed to Christ's commission for us to make disciples. We aim to be disciples of Jesus and to make disciples by engaging the culture of our city with the gospel, establishing and equipping these disciples of Christ in their journey with God, and releasing these Spirit-empowered leaders to be a Christ-like influence. When we talk about outreach, this is our third value. God calls us beyond ourselves to reach out with the love of Christ. We are passionate about reaching those who don't know Jesus with the good news of the cross, whether it be in our own backyard or on the mission field. We count it a privilege to take social responsibility for our campuses, our community, our city, and our nation. And then lastly, which is the value we're going to talk about today, is family. And this value in our global movement actually is the one that really resonated with me growing up in a pastor's home. And I'll just read this statement for you. We will not place our families and marriages on the altar of ministry. We also see the church as a spiritual family, a community of faith that Jesus laid down his life for because he loved us so much. Now, the reason why family is important, and we must understand that this is the way that God builds, is that he initiates all of creation through humanity in the form of family. In Genesis chapter 1, he creates the universe, right? And then after creating the universe, on the sixth day, he creates the apex of his creation. He creates animals, and then the final thing that he creates is humanity. He creates man and woman, and he gives them the first commandment. So he creates them in the context of this beautiful garden. Anybody remember the name of the garden?
Eden, that's right.
It's Eden, right? And he creates this beautiful, copious garden. And he says to them, he gives them the commandment to go and be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. In other words, go have some babies. That's what he's saying, right? And he's saying to them, look, you're going to be the blueprint for everything that follows. Create an environment for family. The way that you relate to one another and the way that you relate to your children will determine a blueprint that will thus follow. And it's interesting, right? That sin enters the world by breaching and breaking this perfect design that God has for family. Now, we won't prolong it, but you can read it yourself in Genesis chapter 3, which is the first book of the Bible for those of you who are just getting used to using the Bible. The third chapter talks about how Eve partakes of fruit from a tree that God instructed them. Do not partake of this fruit. She partakes of it and hands it to her husband who is with her at the time. And he doesn't even correct her. He should have, but he doesn't even tell her, hey, let's get away from this tree. And so what ends up happening, they go and hide. God says to them, where are you? He's not blind. He knows exactly where they are. He just wants them to realize where they are. And they try to dress themselves up in fig leaves. I heard a great message on fig leaves by Hannah Stringer, by the way. I think if you get a chance, you should ask her about her unpacking of that scripture. But like, we've been spending the whole of our time in society right up until 2021. Our fig leaves are more sophisticated now, where we try to cover up our sin through certain activity. And then when God points it out, what ends up happening? The husband blames the wife, and then the wife blames the serpent. And the serpent has no one to blame because he doesn't have a leg to stand on, right? And so what ends up happening is we see the breach of this design that God has initiated. And how many of you have seen the breach of this design throughout history? And it still continues today. Whether it's the blame game or people not fulfilling the roles that God has designed each of us to walk in. Now let me say this, okay? God designs things with a purpose. God designs a husband and a wife, and they have a fulfillment of a purpose, and we're going to look at that purpose, okay? And it's not to say, hear me out, ladies and gentlemen, we are all equal in God's sight. We all are equal in value. God laid down his life both for men and for women. It's not that one is more, one holds more value than another. That's really important for us to hear. But the breach of this design has always been exemplified in what we fight, right? We fight for family. We don't fight against the family. We should be fighting for the value of family. And this is part of the gospel, is that God, through his son Jesus, lays his life down to call the broken back into God's design for family. So let's go back to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can go there too, because we're going to marinate in this scripture for a little while. And we start this off with the foundation of what the scripture is saying here. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Remember from the weeks prior, right? Whenever you see the word therefore, you got to understand why it's therefore, right? And so Paul sets it up after talking about who God is, how fallen we are, and our desperate need for Christ's salvation. He leans into this therefore, and from Ephesians 5, we see our response to what Jesus has done. Therefore, do not be foolish. Turn to somebody and encourage them this morning. Don't be a fool. Wake them up. I know it's dark in here. Don't be foolish,
but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is foundational, okay? Turn to your other neighbor and say, listen, this is foundational. You're going to need this. He's saying, okay, in order for you to know how to relate, because everything I'm going to talk about from this point on is about how we relate to one another as family. But in order to relate correctly, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And there are many people within the church that think they know the will of God, but they don't know the word of God, when the word of God is equal to the will of God. We live in arguably the most biblically illiterate generation since the Reformation, you know, since the availability of scripture to the layman. And yet we have more scripture available than ever. Like, you can get it on your device. You can get it on the internet. You don't even need to go to Kurong and buy a Bible. It's freely available. And yet, if we're really honest and we ask the regular Christian about, you know, what's your favorite verse? Oh, God helps those who help themselves. Like, that's really in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's in the book of Hesitations, chapter 4. It's not, right? So we got to understand this, how important it is to know the word of God. Because if you don't know the word of God, you don't know the will of God. And this is the reason why often at times we find Christians embracing a worldly mentality, because we hear more of the word from the world than we do about God's instruction as to how we should relate. Please don't get uncomfortable with me. I'm just going to read the Bible. But we need to understand, look, if you want to not be foolish, again, turn to the other neighbor and tell them, don't be a fool, then you need to know what the will of God is for your life. I have in my pocket an iPhone, God's most blessed means of communication. If I want to know how to understand to use it, I better go back to the manual, right? Or go back to the ones who created it. And yet, there's so many of us that would look upon, you know, whatever phone you might use and look at it like, is this really a phone? What's a phone? I don't know what a phone is. And we think, okay, maybe I go down to IKEA and I want to build a table, and we use our phone to hammer nails into a table with our phone, because we don't know the purpose of it. And many of us in church, in places of worship like this, we try to figure out our means for existence without actually knowing what the word of God is. Are you all okay with this? I'm going to read the word of God. Okay, this next part is key. Verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to who? God the Father, right? In the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting. Everybody say submitting. This is a word that people are afraid of in 2021. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So not only is God saying, okay, in order to understand and not be a fool, you need to know my word. You need to dig deeper and understand my purposes and my word in order that you don't live like a fool. Secondly, you need to enter into, like the Psalm says, my gates with thanksgiving, my courts with praise, because the word is more than just a textbook. It's alive, Peter says, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and breathing. The word of God is pointless unless you tap into the one who authored it while you're reading it. God's desire is that by his Holy Spirit, the scriptures would be illuminated so that you would understand how to live, because God wants to speak to you. He uses his word to speak to you. It's living, it's alive. So before you even crack open a Bible, you should be asking God, speak to me through your word. And what ends up happening is this environment of thanksgiving that happens when you understand who the author is. Because he's under no obligation to give us his word, but he does. And so we give thanks always for everything to God the Father. There's two extensive words that are used there. Give thanks at all times for all things. That's really important. The moment you start taking credit for things that he has done is the moment that you supposedly, in your own heart, remove him from the throne of exaltation. And that's the time when we struggle to hear that S word that's up there of submission. Why do I have to submit? I know what I'm doing. Your heart is like that old Clint Eastwood movie. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. One of us has to go. And it's true. The throne of your heart and the throne of your life is built for the posterior of one. It's a matter of who is seated on that throne. And we can say in a token way, well, yeah, God is the center of my life. But do we really see it? Do we really see it in the fruitfulness of our lives? So a good place to start is, man, you know, within your family, brag on your God with thankfulness. You know, we don't boast in our own abilities, like Paul says, but we boast in the Lord our God. Okay, here we go. Are you all ready for this? We're going to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, everybody, because we're diving into the word now. Okay, you all ready? These next two words, just I don't even need to read the whole verse. Just these next two words might offend some people in here, but I'm reading the Bible, okay? Turn to somebody, encourage them. He's just reading the Bible. Okay, so take it easy. Here we go. Woo! I didn't even read it yet, man. Y'all are wives. Submit to your own husbands, meaning don't submit to somebody else's husband, right? Just submit to your own husband. I don't like Trevor, so I'm going to submit to Paul. No, it's not the way we roll here, okay? Submit to your own husbands. Here's the key words, because we often just read the first two words and then we start tripping when we don't read those four words at the end of that verse. As to what? The Lord. Okay, understand. Okay, the Lord is important. His word is important. His will is important. And in his will, we give thanks. And that's why it's really important for all my single people up in here. All right? Y'all better find, when the time comes that you should enter into a relationship, make sure that they're submitted as to the Lord. Because there's going to be moments of tension where it's like, I want to submit to this knucklehead, but the decisions he's making is not as to the Lord. Like, if you start the relationship off right, then you won't have to go through those issues. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit that unites the two of you will keep you on the same page, right? As to the Lord, okay? This is already speaking to the husbands too. We got to walk worthy of that submission, right? We got to walk as to the Lord in order to be worthy of that submission. You know, this is not submission in the sense of those of you who are wrestling fans, you know, like Ric Flair of the figure four leg lock and, oh, I submit. No, that's not marriage, right? Some of you are like, okay, we're going to do wrestling and I'm just going to pin you down. No, that's not submission in this case. It means, look, I will honor you as the leader in this household as long as you are walking as to the Lord, right? Let's carry on. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body as is himself, its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. We submit as to the Lord. Jesus is Lord, right? And as you submit to him, you submit in these relationships. All my single people in here, how many of you? Oh, the single ladies. Any single people up in here today? Please don't consider, if you are a follower of Jesus, there's always going to be that temptation to just throw that submission away in order that you place somebody else on the idol of your heart in order that they may fulfill you in a way that they will never be able to fulfill because they're not God. God will provide at the right time. Work on you. Work on your relationship. What I often tell single people is figure out what your mission is before you drag somebody else into a missionless relationship. Like, what is your mission? What are you called to do for God and his glory? And how are you walking out in that and that God would bring it to pass in the right time? I told you it was going to be sensitive. Somebody was looking at me like, I can't believe he's going there. If we are submitted under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we will not settle for, I'm with him because, you know, I saw he's got a fish sticker on the back of his car and he's got nice eyes. Is that really the standard here? Yeah, aim low. Supposed to be a high jump bar, not a limbo bar. So it's more than just, you know, being saved and going to church. Is his or her life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, you know, like a good way to figure this out, all my single people up in here, like when you're considering, oh, maybe he could be the one. Check out how he relates to his friends. Because you see a man's friends, you see his future. Or you see her friends, you see her future. It's dangerous when they ain't got no friends. His middle name is Scott, because he's Scott no friends, right? I get serious, right? It's dangerous. Like, ask those guys, okay, how is he really? Like, what's he really like? Okay, Does he have his finances in order? That car that he tried to impress you with, is it really his or did he borrow it from his dad? Some of you are laughing, some of you are not. It's all right, just return it to Hertz or Avis after this. Like, what's the vision for their life? If they start going, girl, I ain't got no vision. You're my vision. No, that's like, wrong. Out, peace out. Like, right away, what's the vision? Where are you going? And does it look like God's vision? Oh, I'm going to be the greatest rapper that ever lived. Wrong, come on. Like, all that stuff, man. Does their God-given mission match your mission? Does it line up, right? Are their finances submitted to Christ? Hello, somebody. How do they handle themselves when they're under pressure? You know, like, because everything's all good. How many of you know, like, it's like social media. You will always curate your personality when you're trying to impress somebody. But get them under pressure. All these words start coming out that you never thought would come out of their beautiful mouth. Get them under pressure. Then all of a sudden, these things manifest out of their life. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to show you that. Because that's what it's going to be really like. You got the pressure. You know, and we're part of a generation that, like, fears commitment now. That's a major, don't even consider that. And here at Every Nation Brisbane, we're all about being committed to what God's called us to and who he's called us to walk with. Like, I'm not in relationship with you as long as you can serve my needs. That's covenant family. That's how we value spiritual family, and that's how we should value the relationships that are important to us. I'm not with Tina just until I can get an upgrade. That's not covenant. Like, when we walk together, you're going to see flaws. You're going to see things that you might have not expected to see before. And no family is perfect. But when you do it God's way, it becomes a lot more like the family he designed in the garden, because that was his initiation. Let's move on. Because the wives only get like a couple of verses. The husbands get a lot of verses because we need a lot of instructions. And you'll probably notice Bianca skipped a few verses because we don't have all day. Because if it was all about the husbands, we would have to turn this into a series. All right. Husbands, love your wives. L-U-H, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself up for her. It's not lip service, right? For us as men, it's not just lip service. Do I need to tell Tina that I loved her when I told her 15 years ago when I married her? That should be enough. That should last. No. I need to prove my love to her. Why and how? I give myself up for her. If there's one thing that's highlighted, and all my married people, you can say amen quietly under your breath if you agree with me. There's one thing that's highlighted when you get married, it's your selfishness. And then, when you think you've got it all figured out, then you have kids. And kids come into the picture, and even more of your selfishness starts to come to the surface. Hello! Like that game where you hammer the frogs back into the whack-a-mole or whatever. You know, like, it's like the selfishness pops up. Hello, boom, hello, boom. You know, like, that. All these selfish areas of your life start to become exposed. And this is how God uses marriage and family actually to bring that stuff out of you. This is a process that we call theologically sanctification, because you become more like Christ when you walk in God's covenant family. Love your wives. Give yourself up for her that he may sanctify her. That's that word. Sanctification means becoming more like Jesus. There's a process to this. Having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Okay? The way us as men, and for those of you who are single brothers in here, start in your own life. Start by washing in the first place. And then wash your life with the water of God's word. Again, the importance of knowing God's word so your life remains clean of sin, so you're quick to repent when your life doesn't look like the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Look, let me just touch on this. Every person is obviously responsible for their own journey with God, but let me tell you this, men, we have a special responsibility as leaders within our household, even for the single brothers in here, to dictate the spiritual climate within our household. If our wives aren't walking with God, or if our children don't know who God is, then we need to really check in our hearts whether we've done our part as leaders to create that atmosphere in order that they may walk with God. Are you really creating that environment for spiritual fervency? Well, guess what? It starts back, before you answer that question, it starts back with you. Do you really believe that God is the center of your own life? Because then when it comes, when you take a step back from family, it's really a question of lordship. Is he really Lord of your life? And does it show in the way that I relate to my wife or the way I relate to my children? And single brothers in here, if you can't get this right before you get married or before you enter into a relationship, if that's what God should favor towards you, then really you shouldn't even consider it. Because you need to get the household of your own heart in order. I told you it was going to get sensitive. But this is the word of God. The way that we can ask this question, right? How does our spouse or even our children know our love for them? It's we've given ourselves up for her, right? We've sanctified her. We've cleansed her with the word. That's why it's important to know the word. And I'm not trying to condemn you if you're saying, well, Pastor Nelly, the only scripture I know is Jesus wept. And I'm crying now because I don't know more. I'm not saying that. Like, start now. This is a place to start. By God's grace, God is speaking to you today. Start now. Cleansing with the word, right? Clean your own heart. Repent quickly from the things that don't line up in the word of God in terms of your own life with him. And then be presented in splendor that God would look upon your life without spot or wrinkle. And this is what verse 32 says. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Dr. David Egerich wrote a book called Love and Respect. And I highly encourage, you know, those of you who are married in here, if you haven't read the book together, it's a good book to read as a couple. But it focuses on the cyclical nature of this verse and pretty much all of Ephesians 5 and 6. Because without, and this is not to say they're mutually exclusive, to say that women only crave love and don't need respect. No, women need respect. And then at the same time, our men, it's not to say that we don't need love. But LL Cool J was right. I need love, right? That's an old school reference. Some of y'all are like, who's LL Cool J? He's your great uncle. So, you know, like, it's understanding that we do need love, but like, there's an aspect of how God has designed men to crave respect even more. And what Egerich says here is that when there is an absence of love and an absence of respect, he calls this the crazy cycle, and it looks like this diagram on the screen right now, where he overreacts, you don't respect me. And she's like, you don't love me. And it just ends up in this endless cycle. And you've got to make the choice, whether you're a husband or a wife, to actually be the one who initiates. You know what? I'm going to respect you with everything that I have, and then watch it change. That's why you need prayer. You need to pray for your spouse. Or husbands, you need to love your wife. Figure out what her love language is. Figure out, like, you might be speaking love in a language she doesn't understand. Hey, you wanna go to the monster car, the monster truck races with me, because I love you? She's like, I want to put you under the truck, man. What are you doing? Because we haven't figured it out. Like, that's, you know, figure out how to show her that love. And it's an endless journey. I'll keep it real, man. In case you haven't figured it out, you never will. It's an endless journey of learning one another. I'm just going to leave it there in case I get in trouble from my sisters in the room. But this is the way it should look. This energizing cycle is that his love motivates her respect, and her respect motivates his love. All right. For my young people here, okay, if you are a child or a youth, or if you are a child of anybody who is alive right now, okay? So I have, my mother is still alive. She's in Sydney right now. And so I still take into regards these principles. And I want to encourage you, if your parents are still alive, to exercise these principles. It says here, children, obey your parents. There's that word, those words again, in the Lord. If it's going to put you at risk, like say, for instance, if your parents say, hey, can you go get the shotgun and go shoot our neighbor because his music's too loud? It's probably not in the Lord, all right? So the in the Lord part is really important. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Okay, don't elbow your kids. See, the Bible says you better obey me. told you to eat your broccoli last night. Honor your father and your mother, okay? This is the first commandment with the promise. Okay, if you want this in your life, this is the key, that it may go well with you. Anybody here want your life to go well? Oh, there's like five of us, Adele. I'm sure there's more of you. If you want life to go well with you, that's the key. Obey your parents in the Lord, and that you may live long in the land. I trip out at this because verse 4 only says fathers. I'm sure he meant fathers and mothers, but I'm not sure. But I think I took it personally as a, you know, father. Okay, maybe it's my role in this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Right? Notice the word is discipline. It's not abuse. Notice there's guidance here. It's not selfish unleashing. It's service to lead your children to obedience in God, not your own unleashing of your own lack of self-control. I'm just closing with this thought here. Here's John Piper says about this passage. The point is that not every child who is obedient will live a long life. The point is that God delights in obedience. He loves obedience and gives special blessings to families and churches and peoples where that kind of humility and respect and obedience prevails. Question I ask at this point, and the question that I want to propose to you as we wind the sermon up, wind this time of this message up, as we look and reflect upon our family. How many of us in this room would say, look, I want my family to look like what Christ has designed for my family? How many of you would say that? I know it's going to be a climb, but the place where we can start today is just saying, God, I submit my role in my family to you today. That's where we can start. Maybe there's some repentance that needs to happen. So the question I want to propose to you today is, how is God leading you to lead your family to him? How is God leading you to lead your family to him? I'll ask you a few questions that hopefully will resonate in your spirit. This is not just for parents as I ask this question. It's for you, no matter what age you're at. How strong is the word of God in your home? Are you the one who dictates the word of God in your home? Are you praying the word of God for those of us who are parents, you know, like over your children? Or over your spouse, husbands over your wives, and your wives over your husbands. If the presence of God's word is not in your home, guess what? Other words will take over your home. How is God leading you to lead your family to him? If you're with your family right now, or if you're online watching this with your family, then just take a moment to reflect and give our family and our homes, our relationships, our marriages, our singlehood to God, that God would be glorified. And that we would use every opportunity, no matter what life stage we're in, to lead our family to him. And maybe God's even challenging you to think through your relationship. And does your relationship actually reflect the way that God wants you to live? If you're in a relationship with somebody that, you know, does not share the same value as you in terms of who God is in your life, you may want to reconsider that or take that into consideration. But I'm just going to leave this with you today, and I want to pray for you before we go into a moment of reflection. God, I thank you that you designed family. I thank you that the Bible starts in our relationship with you as family, with you as our Father. You're a good Father, and you love us. You give us your identity. We are who you say we are because of your design. Who you say we are is as sons and daughters of a Father who is good. So God, you're reminding us not just of our own biological families, but our spiritual family, that we are called to walk together with others, not based on our own convenience or our own expectations or our own needs being met. But God, we walk in family relationship based on who you place us with. You place us in the body as you see fit. Let me just pray for your family today. If your desire is to submit your family relationships, maybe God's been pinpointing some areas in your relationships, in your families that aren't necessarily submitted to God. And maybe you want to see transformation and change today. Can I just ask that you would lift your hands to him and surrender and just say, God, I'm surrendering just specific areas of my life, our relationship, our family with you. And if you're online, you can just put up an emoticon just to say, man, I need prayer personally, because we want to pray with you.
God, you see these hands that are lifted all over this room. You see these hands lifted up, whether it's in marriage, whether it's as sons or daughters, whether it's as parents, God, and our singlehood as well, Lord God, as we're submitting our singlehood, maybe there's been a battle a little bit to crave the idolatry of marriage, which is a good thing, but the way that you author things at your right time. God, I thank you that as we submit these areas to you, that you are our source of not just fulfillment, but direction and vision and mission, that God, you are re-solidifying, Lord God, this design. Father, let our cravings, our wants, our desires reflect what you have for us, Lord God. Let us crave you, not just because you're good and not just because we know we need you, but Lord, that we would want you. Lord, lead us today. We submit these areas of our lives. We submit our families to you, our relationships to you. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.